This is Parshat Devarim. Okay, start again. This is Parshat Va'etchanan. I'd like to really dedicate the Shi'ur for Elishama Miyomek Lev Tamim Ben Ledvar Kaviti. Yeah, he's having a hard time. I think he's allergic to America. He's broken out in hives, and we don't know what's going on in and out of the Beit Cholim. Really needs a refuah and a lot of strength to figure out what he's doing. To Ita Rachaleya Bat Endachaya, who I think right now is in labor, is Sha'a Tova. To Shoshana Bat Devorah, to Tzviya Bat Malka, to all of us, to everyone, Yeshua Tzvi Ben Chaya Rachom, Chal Moshe Zobin. Everybody, anybody who needs. Here we are, it's Erev Tisha B'Av, and I just wanted to give over this Torah from the Holy Arizal, who says that if you mamish daven ak chatzot, he gives over two really beautiful Torahs that I just heard recently. One is Leil Tisha B'Av, if you could just shed even one tear for your own destruction, for the destruction of someone else, for the communal destruction of Am Yisrael and our holy temple. And if on Tisha B'Av day at 12:30, 12:45 in the afternoon, when it's Mamash Chatzot, at least here in Eretz Yisrael, that's the moment to really, while you're still on the floor, to really cry over the things that are broken in our own lives and for all of us, that Hashem will surely answer our prayers, and then we will rise up, right, walking to the Holy Temple, really hoping so. Okay, so this is Parshat Va'etchanan. It's always a little bit intense because it's when Moshe tells the Am how he begged and begged Hashem that he wants to go into Eretz Yisrael and that he's not allowed to. And instead, Hashem just tells him to go see the land from on top of the mountain. Moshe describes in this Parsha Yetziat Mitzrayim through Matan Torah, with the main theme being Ein Od Milvado, there's nothing but him. We were once learning that the only Ein in your life, instead of Ein Li Bayit, Ein Li this, Ein Li that, I don't have, Ein Od Milvado, there's nothing but Hashem. In the future, people will, according to this Parsha, turn away from Hashem, do Avodah Zarah, be exiled, be scattered, and from there, they will seek Hashem and return to obey His mitzvahs. In this parsha, we see the repetition of the Ten Commandments and the beginning of Shema. Okay, that in a nutshell is Parshat Va'etchanan. So Va'etchanan el Hashem be'et ahi lemor. Rashi says, "Ein chinun, there's no begging in any place. B'kol makom ele lashon matnat chinam. It comes from the lashon, the language of a free gift." In other words, I don't deserve it. I'm not saying, you know, Magili, you created me, you have to fix this for me, this, that, or the other. Just please, Hashem, just give me a gift. I just need a gift. It just has to happen. Rashi also brings down that this is one of the 10 languages that are called tefillah. Chinun, this tachanunim, this begging, is also a form of prayer. The Katzke Rebbe says, "Hitchananti al Hashem ki be'etahi." He said, "The rega acharon before leaving this world, I'm able to actually say Hashem Elokim." Therefore, he was begging him there. Midrash Rabbah teaches us that Moshe prayed 515 prayers, which is gematria ve'etchanan, to be allowed to enter the land. Yalkut Shimoni says that Moshe saw that the decree was sealed against him coming in, so he drew a circle and he sat inside it, kind of similar to the story of Choni Ma'agal, and he said, "I'm not moving from here until you nullify the decree." And then he wrapped himself in sackcloth and ashes, and he stood in prayer before Hashem until the earth and the heavens and all the laws of creation began to tremble and said, and they were thinking, maybe it's time for Hashem to destroy the world. So Hashem announced that every gate of every heaven, at every gate of every court, that the tefillah of Moshe should not be admitted. Can you imagine? The voice of tefillah Moshe was like a sword slicing and ripping through all the barriers. Nothing could stop it. So Moshe says to Hashem, if you won't allow me to enter the land, then let me enter as a beast of the field, which grazes on the grass and drinks the water there in Eretz Yisrael, and let me see the world that way, and let my soul be as one with those. And Hashem said, enough. And Moshe said, if you won't let me enter the land, let me enter as a bird that flies in the air to all corners of the earth and collecting in my food, and in the evening return to my nest. Let my soul be one of those. And Hashem says, enough. So heavy. Like, this is where we learn tefillah. It's one of the ways of tefillah, and yet we're using as an example of tefillah that a guy could stand up and daven 550 times and not be the prayer that he had. Not that it's not answered, it was answered, but he didn't get what he wanted. In Midrash Rabbah, Moshe says to Hashem, the bones of Yosef are entering the land and I can't. And, you know, Hashem says to him, it's so harsh, he says, he who was modeh, who admitted to his land, is buried in his land. And he who did not admit to his land will not be buried. Yosef, when Potiphar's wife said, look how this Jewish boy is behaving to me, da-da-da-da-da, he didn't deny it. And actually, when he was brought out of prison, he says to Paro, gunavti mi eretz ha-ivrim, I was stolen away from the land of the Jews. So he will be buried in the land. But you, Moshe, you didn't modeh, you didn't cop that you're from the land, that you're Jewish. When the daughters of Yitro said, an Egyptian man saved us, ish mitzri hatzilenu, you heard it and you were silent. Therefore you won't cross over the Yarden. So heavy, right? So heavy. So why doesn't it say ve'et chanan? Why doesn't it say ve'echanan, and I am begging, but it says ve'etchanan, because Hashibala Tova says that Moshe became the tefillah. He became the tefillah himself. Va'ani tefillati, va'ani tefillah, David HaMelech says, I myself turn into the prayer that I'm doing. In other words, nothing between me and my prayer, I am the prayer. So Rav Moshe Leib of Sasov says that when Yaakov was talking to Lavan, he said, "Va'anta mi tzidakta v'yom machar." I'll say, who was right the next day? Hashem said, "How did Hashem answer?" Hashem said, "Don't be so sure of tomorrow, because tomorrow your daughter is going out and getting raped." That's what happened to Dina right after. So we learn that a person should only speak of things that are nogeya to that moment, to that day. And he shouldn't talk about what he's going to do tomorrow, because nobody knows what tomorrow will bring. So ve'et chanan el Hashem, he says that my tchina before Hashem was ve'et ahi lemor, in that moment, saying that I should have be zoche to only say those things of that moment and not be in the thing of anything else. You know, it's really interesting, because we say that a person, I can't remember where I learned it, I may have written it down, so maybe I'll come to it, that when a person is davening and they're davening for tomorrow, that they should have parnasa for tomorrow, and they have parnasa today, they're considered of little emuna. That really, if today you have what you need, then don't worry about tomorrow, because tomorrow's another day. Who knows what will happen tomorrow? Tomorrow, you don't have what you need, get up and daven for it. Such a heavy level. You know, here we live in the land of pension plans and savings plans, and, you know, also being at that age where we should have, I could have, but I didn't.
It was nice I got that check after my father died. It was you know, that he was like, say, could be, he gave this.
Right, that's true, that he did invest for our future. But that's what he says. I am ve'etahi in that moment. So the Amshana Varebi says ve'etahi, that Moshe was begging for that time when Am Yisrael will be in a situation that they cannot pray, because the tzarot, be'etahi, in that time of great trouble, of gullus, that we can't daven with proper kavanah, and all that we're up to is lemor. We're just saying the davening from our lips on out. We just say the words, and still our tefillah will be accepted, because Moshe in his davening was be'etahi. Yeah, so on one hand we learn from Moshe, don't daven for the future, but it's exactly what he was doing for Am Yisrael. In that time, if there'll ever be a time when they cannot even daven and it's just lip service, please, Hashem still answer their prayers. So it's like kind of like this interesting paradox to me. So Rashi says, you know, tzaddikim could just say, you know, look at all my masim tovim, but instead they only ask for a free gift, not chinam. So the Kutzker Rebbe laughs and he says, a real tzaddik doesn't ever feel like he's done masim tovim. So how could he possibly depend on his masim tovim, because he never feels that he's really done enough or that it's so great. So the only thing they could rely on would maybe be their future ma'asim tovim, that if I'm still alive, then I'll be able to do these. And they don't say that, they just ask for matnat chinam. Because Moshe could have said, please let me into the land so that I could do the mitzvot, tuluyot ba'aretz, those mitzvot that could only be done in the land, but he doesn't say that. He says, just let me have it as a gift. Says Elokim Hashem Atah HaChelota LaHaraot. You just began to show your servant your greatness, your strong hand. Asher Mi El B'Shamayim U'Ba'aretz. Who is the Lord of the heavens and the earth? Asher Yasek Ma'asecha, that could do as your doings, U'Kegvuratecha, and as your amazing, glorious things. So the Midrash says, HaChelota has two meanings. It can mean to desecrate, hachilota, from Lashon chilul, or could mean lahatchil, to begin. So Moshe said, why are you doing this to me? You began it all. It's all from you. You began it by coming to me in a flame of fire in the burning bush. After raising me up, now you're going to cast me down from my greatness. And so Hashem says to him, but I swore that you will not enter the land. So Moshe says, listen, once before you were mechalel that which you said, you desecrated what you said. What is he talking about? The Yachel Moshe, after the story of the golden calf, Moshe as if annuls the vow of Hashem. So when you swore to annihilate Bnei Yisrael, when we worship the golden calf, so then you did retract your oath. So why can't you retract your oath now that you made, that I can't go in the land, and let me go in the land? So it really sounds like a very good svara. First of all, the bus.
What is your word called?
Svara, lisbor, like lehesber, explanation. It's like a good, like what you say in the Gemara, that, oh, I had a really good svara. In other words, I had a really good, like, hit on what they're talking about.
Logical
follow through.
Lahasbir.
Lahasbir, exactly. Also, we say a person's expression that we're always supposed to have sever panim yafot, that your face should have a nice expression on it. So it's also manifesting all the things that are in you.
So that's what you're saying. It's not only speaking, that's what you're saying. It's not only speaking with your words, it's speaking of your being.
Of your being.
You're looking.
Right, well that's why you would have that particular svara. He says, you know, it sounds like a good svara. So what happens? First, I want to just interrupt this train of thought with a thing that the Baal Shem Tov says. He says that Moshe was such an Eved Ne'eman of Hashem. He was the greatest of all the Nevi'im. He was the recipient of the Torah. And after 120 years of the most godly life ever lived, he says that he sees himself as just beginning.
Who?
Moshe Rabbeinu, the Baal Shem Tov says that. Moshe Rabbeinu says, "Atah hachilota, you're just starting to really show me what's up." So,
it's true.
Yeah, I know.
It's like awesome. It's so infinite, and we're just, the highest we can get is just the beginning of maybe.
Mm-hmm. Wait one sec. Brochot ha'nachlam, shalom
v'go.
Okay, avrana ve'er'e et ha'aretz ha'tova. Let me cross over and see the good land. So obviously if you go over the mountain, he would have seen the land, but he always asks to be seen by Hashem, the Tov in everything. Please let Hashem only notice the Tov, ha'aretz ha'tova, so Moshe and I will see the great land. Moshe Davins, I guess, that he will see the great land and only see the good that's in it. Like, it's such a beautiful bracha for Erev Tisha B'Av that we should see all the good that's
but
here in Eretz.
Hashem,
both. It's like a prayer that Hashem will, that he will, that we will. And
what
a test to always see the good. So Moshe says, what's the language? You just were showing me everything. Ebra na ve'er eta arts atova asher ve'eber yadon yarden hahar hatov hazeh, this good mountain v'halvanan. So Rashi says, what's hahar hatov? Yerushalayim. What's halivanon? The Beit HaMikdash. The white. So the Midrash says, Hashem said to Moshe, you can't have it both ways. I already nullified the decree, and I uphold yours. I said, I will destroy them, and they were worshipping the golden calf, and then you said, forgive them, and I upheld your desire. So now, if you want me to let me cross over, that should be what I uphold, so then my decree that you not go in would be nullified, so then you have to retract your forgive them. Like Hashem said, you can't have it both ways. You undid one vow, and I don't really understand it. Why can't he undo all his vows?
Right.
But he says, because you can't have it both ways. I have a gezerah. You have to do it.
Hashem said a rules and regulation of his creation, and he doesn't, he keeps doing rules.
So he said, this is the price, you have to pay the price. So what does Moshe say? May Moshe die and 100 like him, and not a fingernail of one of Am Yisrael be harmed. Halavai. So when Moshe is approaching death, and Bnei Yisrael did not appeal to Hashem on his behalf that he should enter the land, Moshe gathered them together later on, and he said, one man can save 600,000 Yidden, but 600,000 Yidden cannot save one man. Can you imagine how broken he must have felt? Everything that he did for Am Yisrael, and they didn't get it, that they should daven for him.
It's so, like, you know, Leon, in the beginning, he's asking, it's a chesed chinam, right?
Yeah.
And now Hashem is doing sorrows. So it's like, what's happening here? I don't understand. First, in the beginning, so he just kind of shut the door on Otzer Chinam. So, sorry, brother. Then you have to deal with business level.
I'm not sure. But it says that Moshe said to Hashem, okay, so let me be like an Eved. Because when a person is a Jewish slave, and then he doesn't want to leave his master, he says twice that he doesn't want to leave the master, and they pierce his ear, and he's there to Yovel. So Moshe said, Ahavti et Adoni lo etze chofshi. I love my master, I don't want to go out free. Like the same formula that the slave says. And then meaning that I won't be able to leave this world, you have to let me come into the land. So Hashem said, Al tosef davar alai, don't keep talking to me. Now we saw also the time when Moshe Rabbeinu was davening for his sister, and he said, El na rafan na la, that when you say na twice, it's like as if really pushing the hand of God that he has to answer you.
Right.
So when he was healing Miriam, he said na twice, and Hashem answered him. But here, Hashem is as if saying, don't say anymore. Don't become like the Eved. Don't. And Moshe, who is that Eved Ne'eman, listens to Hashem. Like someone else might not, but he listens to Hashem.
Did Moshe ever say sorry to Hashem?
Sorry?
Yeah.
Why? For what?
Sorry. Well, Hashem was sorry that he beat her up.
I don't know. We don't see inside that he did, but I would imagine so. I don't think
we
get.
Don't see it.
We don't. I don't see it anywhere. I mean, maybe it's there, but
not yet.
Yeah.
Not yet.
Why did he say sorry? Maybe that's what Hashem was waiting for.
Listen, maybe he said it, but it was.
Moshe Rabbeinu always has a ton of Hashem. This is awesome. If I keep coming to you and new to you again and again and again and again, you would get up. Stop already. But Hashem is like Moshe comes this way, then he comes this way, and Hashem still answering him so kindly. So he always comes in. There is no answer yet. Maybe when Moshiach comes, that's what happens.
Yeah. Well, then Moshe comes. He rises up and he takes all the Yidden that were in the desert with him, and they all go back into.
But Moshe never asks the stuff of Moshiach for himself.
But he asks for us all the time.
He asks
Hashem to forgive us all the
time. Why didn't he ask Slicha that he
Salachta, you know, but also Salachti ki dvarecha. You don't think it included Moshe? I think it did.
Okay, maybe that's it.
Okay, so the Midrash Tanchuma says something very sweet. He says, he brings down a pasuk that he says, Tachanunin yidaber rash, the begging a poor person says, that's Moshe. And the end of the pasuk is, V'ashir ya'ane azut, and the rich one answers kind of like chutzpadek, right? That's a Kaddish Baruch Hu, who's Ashiro Shel Olam. Because what did he answer Moshe? Rav lecha, enough already with you. So Reb Simcha Buna says something awesome. What does it mean, Ya'ane Azud, Zeh Kaddish Baruch Hu? That sounds horrible. You're calling Hashem a chutzpan? So we said in the Olam Elyon, Rabbi Tanchuma was asked, explain yourself. What are you talking about this drasha? And he said, this is my kavana. I know, everybody knows that if Moshe Rabbeinu had gone into the land, he would have brought with him the Geula Shalema, and mamish, there wouldn't have been any destruction. But we know that the Geula Shalema has to come through Mashiach ben David. Therefore, it's not the right time. It wasn't a time that was like Kshera for the Geula Shalema. So it says, Rav Lecha. What was Hashem telling him, Rav Lecha? That is, Roshei Tevot, Neturi Kain, Rut Boaz. That it had to be Mashiach ben David, David HaMelech, who comes from Rut and Boaz. That's like Rav, is Roshei Tevot, Rut Boaz. Now, the Geula would only come from some descendants of the combination of Rut and Boaz. So it says, but if you want to mashlin the otiyot of Rut and Boaz in order that they could be received completely, so we need more than just Resh and Bet, that's like the hint. So the letters that complete Rut is the Vav and the Taf, and Boaz is the Ayin and the Zayin, and if you put that together, it's Azut. The same word that Hashem says, you know, Ashir, Ya'ane Azut. I can't let you do it because Boaz and Ruth have to come together. It has to be through them and not through you.
And what does Azut mean?
Azut is like, almost like chutzpah, O's, like strength. But it has like a connotation of like, you know, not bad chutzpah, like, you know, Rabbi Nachman calls it Azut de Kedusha, my son, who's Bezrat Hashem B'Shah Tovah, is having a baby very soon, as we speak, is named Ma'oz from the Lashon of Azut the Kedusha, the chutzpah, but in a holy way, a holy chutzpah for Hashem.
Holy chutzpah.
Holy chutzpah. So Hashem says to Moshe then, go up on the top of the peak, look in the four directions, east, north, south, and west. North, south. I'm so geographically challenged.
West,
again.
Yama,
Tzvona, Teimana, Mizracha.
Yama.
Yeah.
West, north.
South. South and east. Well, okay, thank you. West, north, south, and east. And east, and see with your own eyes that you will not cross this Yarden. And then Gemara Bava Batra, it says, if Moshe had gone in, nothing would have ever been destroyed. Right. Therefore, they say something very beautiful, that the air that Moshe Rabbeinu saw of Eretz Yisrael, when he looked at Eretz Yisrael, he saw the air of from a distance, he saw the air of Eretz Yisrael, so it stayed in its Kedusha. If Moshe had gone into the land, then everything would have stayed in a good way. But it wasn't time. But just what he saw, the air of Eretz Yisrael, still maintains that Kedusha, even in the time of the Korban.
I just want to say,
because the glance of Moshe Rabbeinu is still in the air, still there. Yeah,
that keeps it forever.
Right, exactly.
But Shlomo says, this is the thing that Shlomo said, and you saw this, which is what the Torah.
Okay.
And he said, another thing, Moshe Rabbeinu didn't go in. He says, if a person's really sick, really down, really broken completely, right? If your mama's like from the outside, I can't get better, if it's all for the good, or like that, it's like, it doesn't really help. But if you're really broken, who do you need? Your best friend. The person that knows the most inside of you, he's the one who can lift you up. So Mamash Hashem saw it. Now this basically the Mashiach, not Mamash, is going to be far down the line, and the Mikdash is going to be broken. So Moshe Rabbeinu, this is not enough to get down and get to the hearts of Yidden. I know it's broken. I'm taking it. I'm going with you. So that's why Moshe can go in, because Hashem says, I have to do it by myself. I have to be with you, because I know each Jew in his heart.
Not Moshe, it's not Hashem. Hashem.
That's right.
Beautiful. Anyway, then he tells him that Yeshua, command Yeshua and get him together, that he will bring the land, this Am in. So the Midrash Tanchuma, the Midrashim on this Parsha are amazing. Hashem tells Moshe, listen, the way of the world is that every generation needs its own leaders, its own teachers. And now it's the time of Yeshua. So Moshe says, listen, Ribono Shel Olam, it's because of Yeshua I have to die, so I'll just become his disciple. So Moshe wakes up very early in the morning. Yeshua is sitting in the base midrash and teaching, and Moshe hides a little bit. So the people are looking for Moshe. They find him at the door of Yeshua, and when Yeshua realizes that Moshe's there, he tears his garments. You know, master, master, my Abba, you know, and he's so excited, and everybody's saying to Moshe, teach us. And he said, no, I have no license, but we won't leave you. And a bat call comes from Shemayim that says, learn from Yeshua, and they then accept it. So they're all learning, and Moshe does not understand one thing that Yeshua said. They're like, he's learning, and Moshe realizes he doesn't know anything. And the people are asking Moshe to explain what Yeshua gave over, and he realizes he doesn't know it. And it says, I don't know it. And he's stumbling and fainting, and he goes out and he says to Hashem, Ribono Shel Olam, until now I asked for life, but now my soul is placed in your hand. Like, now I get it. My time is up. I don't even get it. I can't be here if I don't even get it. So intense, right? It's so
intense. Do we know what Yeshua was teaching?
No, I don't. I didn't see it. I didn't see it in that Tanchuma. But you know, we have this other story about Rabbi Akiva, that Hashem brings Moshe Rabbeinu to see Rabbi Akiva, and he's sitting in the back of the room, and Rabbi Akiva's teaching and darshaning out halachas from the way that the letters are written, and Moshe's sitting there going, I have absolutely no idea what he's talking about. And one of the students says, well, you know, Holy Master Akiva, Rabbi Akiva, how do we know that? And how does Rabbi Akiva answer? Halacha mi Moshe mi Sinai. It's like Moshe's like, okay, like it came from me, but I am not there anymore. Like, you know, it's like, I think in a certain way, you have to be in the land of the living to really give it over. Like, let's say in a dream, maybe our father could come, our Rebbe could come, and we could get a Torah, and it's really deep. But really, for it to be of the moment, to really be what we need, it has to only be when you're still in this world. Otherwise, already in the other world, everything looks different.
Perhaps that's some of those people will quote in your name, said, oh, Leah said this and this and this and this, and there's some totally different than what I said.
Right.
But this is just how they got it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes,
scary sometimes.
Scary.
I know.
Very scary.
Very scary. And I also had somebody write me a whole thing about, based on my own Torah. And I was like, I don't even remember saying anything remotely similar. It was a gaval, but I don't remember saying that. And they said, no, I have the tape. You know, I'm like, okay. Anyway, in the next perek, Moshe tells the people to obey the Torah and bring down some mitzvahs, and he brings down some new ones. And the first thing he tells us basically is, Lo tosifu al hadavar asher anochi mitzaveh etchem. Don't add to what I'm giving you. And then he goes on and he says, Einechem haro'ot et asher asa Hashem beba'al pa'or. Your eyes saw what Hashem did at Baal Pa'or, where they were worshipping. Ki kol ha'ish asher olech acharei Baal Pa'or, yishmidu Hashem elokecha. All those people were destroyed by Hashem. So what's the connection? What is he talking about? The Holy Alshech says, there are those people who actually sin without any intent to transgress a sivui of Hashem. They're going, they have some seichel of their own. Maybe it's delusional, but they don't see that the mitzvah is really chal on them. So Moshe is saying, lo tosifu, lo tigru, don't it add, don't detract, according to your human seichel. Because even at Baal Pa'or, those men did not mean to actually do avodah zarah. They didn't think they were worshipping Avodah Zarah. They thought they were doing something degrading for that Avodah. Remember, we were talking about the Avodah of Baal Peor was, aside from sleeping with the women and having all this open sex scene, that they were all defecating. They were all making cocky and then going and wiping their tush on the idol. To them, this was like, you know, a shameful act. And they thought they were
natural.
Like degrading the Avodah Zarah. But that is the Avodah Zarah. So we learn Hashem still destroyed them, even though they didn't have kavana. Their kavana wasn't, oh, I really think this is instead of Hashem. They thought, so Hashem teaches us, mitzvot ha-Torah eina nitnot l'shinui kal. You cannot change the mitzvahs of the Torah even a little bit. Afilu kechut ha-sara, even like a hair's breadth, b'shel svarot atzmiot. This is the language of the Al-Sheikh. Because of your own svaras and things that you figured out, the higayon atzmi, your personal logic. Ya'an ki sechel ha-Torah, the sechel of the Torah is completely different. Acher l'chalutin, the nizgav ma'od, it's so exalted that you really can't learn it the way you learn sechel enoshi. There's the sechel of Hashem that comes through us through the Torah. It's one aspect of God's sechel. We can't really approach it. We do. We use our human intellect, but that can't be the only way, because
it's
then we'll get
stuck.
Class
in university.
Yeah, it's not.
Did you dedicate this class?
Yeah, but would you like me to dedicate it to someone else?
The thing is that in Shiloh, and it's the neighbor of Rocky.
Yeah.
They left the little girl in the car and she died.
Oh, we what heard happened? About another, someone told me another baby was killed.
Yeah, another baby was left.
Yeah, that was
car.
A family in Shiloh.
Oh, yeah, yeah, I want to Shiloh, please help us, mama, protect ourselves,
like
please, please.
Morning, it's like, she's in awe of Dr.
Aliyah Neshama, what's your girl's name?
What's the baby's name, do you know? Okay, she should have an Aliyah Neshama that should mamish menachem her parents and protect them. And really,
no more ever pain again, ever.
Horrible. Yeah, there's been a lot of really bad news lately. So what is that? So what does Moshe say? He says, don't change it, don't make it different, look what happened over there. And then he says one of a very famous line from the Torah, Va'atem hadveikim v'Hashem Elokechem chayim kuchem ayom. And those of you who are clinging to Hashem, your God, are alive, all of you today. So in Gemara Brachas it says, Rishaim, even if they're alive, even in their lifetime, they're considered dead. And tzaddikim, even when they're dead, they're considered alive. So obviously, you know, in Chassidut, we say that Hashem is the exclusive source of all life. So life, by definition then, is a connection to God. A life of disconnecting from Hashem is not a real life. It's like pseudo life. It's devoid of everything but its most superficial, illusory shell. So the Degel Machaneh Ephraim was talking about, you know, there's 248 words in Kriyat Shema which give life to the 248 limbs that we all have in our body. But really, if you count the Parshiot of the Shema, there's really only 247 words. And Emet adds it up. It's Shem Elokechem is the end of Shema, and we say Emet. And then it's really the end of Shema and the beginning of Emet Be'emunah Ve'kozot. Right? So Emet is also Otiyot Atem. So it says Atem is Emet. So Atem to Hashem Elokechem. If you look at Hashem Elokechem, if Hashem is your God and you are connected, then you could be zocha to that place of chayim kulchem ayom, that you're all mamish alive today, that then you can mashpia this life force onto every part of your body, and that way you too will be full of life force. And that's why the Kanfei Nesharim, the Kanfei Nesharim says that other religions speak of very special people who could be connected to Hashem, and usually maybe after they die or after much work. But the Torah says, "Va'atem dveikim," we could be connected by Hashem Elokechem to Hashem, not just an angel. Chaim, while we're still alive, kulchem. You have to go. I know it's hard. Kulchem, anyone, hayom, in a moment. like that Chaim Ko Hashem Elok Atem Adveikim Hashem Elokechem Chaim Kuchem Ayom. His mom used to teach us that any single one of us at any moment could be connected all the way to Hashem without the angels in between. Mamish Hayom, in a moment. Yesterday you were doing this, but today you're connected. The Alexander Rebbe says that if you want to be connected to Hashem, but your Yetzer Hara is drawing you away from Hashem, so here's the best Eitzah. Here's the best Eitzah that you need. You should say to your Yetzer Hara, Chaim Kuchem Ayom, that I need to serve Hashem now. I have to do it today. Only to be Mekayim Veshuv Yom Echad Lifnei Mitatcha. So that then I will be able to be on the level to return one day before I leave this world. And Moshe praises us, Kimi Goy Gadol, because who is this great nation? Asher Lo Elokim, to whom Hashem is Krovim Elav, close to us. Ka Hashem Elokeinu, like the Hashem our God, but call Kareinu Elav, whenever and every calling out to Him. The Midrash says, Ya'ancha Hashem Beyom Tzarah, it's the beginning of, you know, Mizmor LeDavid of Perek Chav. What is it like? He says, like a woman who's about to give birth. Please, holy, eat the rachel bas in the chaya. Hashem says, Misha ana le'imech hu ya'aneh lach. The Midrash says, the one who answered your mother, he will surely answer you. That a line, you came into this world perhaps with Yisurin, and now you will have the strength to go through whatever sevel you need in order to do it. That's why the Sfat Emet says, why is it called Ya'ancha Hashem B'yom Tzara? Don't we usually think that it's Balaila, Tzara is not usually connected with Yom. Yom is the day, the symbol of light, the opposite of Tzaras. So the Midrash is really telling us all of the Tzaras of Am Yisrael, the little baby dying, the father who drowned the other day, the kid that drowned, all the Tzaras of Am Yisrael, I mean, it's just horrendous, all the Agmat Nefesh and pain that people are going through, the sickness. And it says that it's really telling us that all these tzuris have a tachlit for tov. The purpose is for good. Like the labor pains of a yoledet is the preparation for the birth. So also the pains and the suffering of Am Yisrael are a hachana, are a preparation for our Yeshua. Please Hashem, enough already. So we say to the Yoledet, your mom suffered before your birth and those sufferings brought you into the world. So also your suffering can bring new life to the world. So Am Yisrael needs to be trusting that our sevel and our suffering will bring in its wake the Yeshua and the Ezra, Elohim Krovim, that even the Midat Adin is to bring us close. And right now I'm begging Hashem, this is my message for Tisha B'Av. I mamash heard this from the Rabbanit Yamima Mizrahi. She says in the name of the Arizal, the two jobs that we have to do on Tisha B'Av tonight and tomorrow, sometime, I hope maybe at Chatzot tonight, but if not, just after Shkia, to mamash shed a tear. Remember we were learning David Melech Alav HaShalom, that's Dim'ah, the tear. If you could shed a tear for the Tzoras of Am Yisrael, for your personal Tzoras, and on Tisha B'Av day, while we're still sitting on the floor before 12:30 here in Eretz Yisrael, when we get up, when it's Chatzot, to mamish be begging Hashem for the Yeshua. For your personal Yeshua, if you can lidamyen and imagine the whole Beit HaMikdash, great. If not, imagine your house. Think of your churban, in your home, in your brokenness, in your neighbor's brokenness, and mamish daven from that place. So, mina tzarat so machata Yeshua, we have had enough tzuras. I'm asking Hashem, enough, that the time of the tzuras happen, and now Yusha, now we should get the Yeshua. Rak yishmor lecha yishmor nafshecha ma'od pen tishkach hadvarim asher ra'u enecha. Just be very, very careful and guard yourselves very, very much that you do not forget the things that your own eyes saw. So the Lubliner says, rak yishmor lecha, rak is lema'et. Rak, just tishmor your body, yourself. Mamish tishmor yourself regular, and then tishmor nafshecha, then that you have to be very careful. There's the level of guarding your body, you have to do what's good, shmartem et nafshotechem, but this is ma'od. The ma'od comes even beyond what a person has a natural drive for survival. Every cell in our body ordinarily wants to live. If not, then something's very broken. So when it is, we're trying to be there in that place. So it really, the Lublina is saying we should try so hard to guard ourselves, to take upon ourselves, that we will listen to what Hashem says.
And why the whole natural foods thing is
everything
happening.
Is happening now, right? Hasheva L'tova says, in every generation, in all time, with all men, there is an inyan of receiving the Torah. If you suddenly wake up and you have a hitlavut, some awakening for Torah, for Yiddishkeit, that's your personal Kabbalah Torah that you feel and you see. But those moments are fast and easily forgotten. So the Torah warns us, be careful not to forget the things that your own eyes saw. You woke up in the morning, you had hitlavut to do something about it, that you don't forget it. The tikrivun, and get close. The ta'amdun tachatahar, and stand under the mountain. And the mountain was burning like fire. Ad leva shamayim, choshech anan va'arafel. Darkness, cloud, and total confusion or total mist. And we learn from here in Gemara Shabbos that Hashem overturned the mountain like an overturned cast, like an inverted gigit. If we accept the Torah, fine. If not, there shall be your kvura. And this, the Gemara teaches us, is where there's a strong legal contest against the Torah. Contract that's done against your will under duress is not a valid contract. And Rava says, but it was reaccepted in the time of Ahasuerush, Kimu v'Kiblu, and we confirmed what we accepted before. And we were learning at the time of Matan Torah that Hashem was saying, if you were living inside in like a bell jar, a glass jar, and then, you know, it had like a terrarium of sorts, and it was open at top, so you would have air, but you couldn't grow, and you couldn't go anywhere, you would be alive, but you wouldn't have a spiritual life. That Hashem said, if that's the only way you're receiving it, I need you to make the choice that even under duress, you want to live and grow and reach up as high as you can. The Alexander Rebbe says that, the mountain that it was given on was Bo'er Ba'esh, that it was on fire until it says Ad Lev HaShamayim, that the fire was going to the heart of heaven. So he said that it's talking that our heart has to turn into a heart of heaven. That's what that fire, we should be so on fire for Torah, for Yiddishkeit, that our heart is mamash, becomes a heavenly heart. That we reach out above our limitations of physicality. V'nishmartem ma'od lenafshotechem, and be careful of yourself. So it should have said, Ushmartem et nafshotechem, or tzaddikim ask, what is v'nishmartem? So this is the mitzvah of shmirat haguf and health. Hishtadlud lishmor al briyot gufachem lenafshotechem leman nafshotechem, because that this is really talking about take care of your physical body, because being sick physically weakens you spiritually. It's really intense. V'nishmartem, the shomering on your body will be a shmirah for your nefesh. The Baal Shem Tov says, when the Yetzer Hara doesn't have any other advice, any other way to bring you to do a vera, so he tries to convince you to be fasting how do you say sikufim in English? To do things and hurt your body, lashes, rolling in the snow, all these different things that will weaken you, and therefore your strength leaves, and then mimela you won't be able to serve Hashem properly. So it's really interesting to me that sometimes we think we're doing what we need, but we're really mistaken, and really we have to be careful to do the thing that's right. It's like when a person is not allowed to fast. on Tisha B'Av or Yom Kippur. So they feel so broken because they think that they can't fast because everybody's fasting and I want to be part of the Am and this is what we're supposed to do. And what a chutzpah. And once, the first time was Yom Kippur and I couldn't fast. And Reb Shlomo, I was mamish crying and I said to Reb Shlomo, you know, I'm so heartbroken. And he said, Layla, what an amazing opportunity. He said, everybody is fasting for Hashem. And you have the opportunity to eat for Hashem today. Maybe you're the only one in the whole world who has to eat for Hashem, and you can do it with those kavanas. How do you know what you're not holding up in Shemayim that no one else can? So it helped a little bit. Not so great, but it helped a bit. Later on also it says, Hishamru lechem, v'asitim lechem, you know, because then he goes again, make sure that you do, you know, Moshe says again that Hashem doesn't let me come in, you know, even though the whole, Meshech Chachma says the generation knew that Moshe, while he was alive, nobody was worried that they would make him into like a deity, but the new generation that was entering Eretz Israel that only heard of all the miracles of wonders of Moshe, maybe they would make a mistake. Therefore, Moshe dies in the Midbar. So while Moshe is warning the nation about Avodah Zarah, he says that I'm going to die because of them, so they won't mess up and make him into a god. It's like he's a little bit still bugged out at us.
Yeah, it is. It's true. Isn't it?
I know, because we might have. And that's why, you know, the Kutzker Rebbe says, it should say, Yishmar lechem v'asitim lechem pesel tmunat kol asher tzivcha Hashem Elokecha. It should say, kol asher lo tzivcha Hashem Elokecha. Be careful and don't make, you know, and making a pesel, everything that Hashem commanded you. It should say that Hashem didn't command you to make a pesel of these things. So a pesel of a tmunah is a copy of something that's alive. It's like an imitation of something. So he's saying, Al ta'aseh pesel v'tmunah, don't make an imitation from the mitzvahs that Hashem commanded you. This is what the Kutzker Rebbe says. Because if you do the mitzvahs how they were supposed to, and not in that, like, not in a bubble of the mitzvah. In other words, don't just think that I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing, but mamash get to the root of the life force of the mitzvah and go from there. The Ktav Kabbalah says also don't make that which Hashem commanded you to do, like the kruvim, and put it in another place, because then that would be avodah zarah. There are times when Hashem says make a form, a pesel with a kruvim, or basically a golden, you know, angels, the cherubim, right? But if you took that and you made it and everybody had one in their bedroom, or you put it in your kitchen and you put a little rice in front of it before you made your dinner every day, then that would be avodah zarah. But Hashem said to make it, but do it over there. Don't take the mitzvahs of Hashem out of the context from what they do. Don't make it pretend. Don't make a pesel out of the mitzvahs either. And ultimately, you know, it says that Moshe Rabbeinu tells us that we will be serving other gods and the ones that cannot see and hear and don't eat and don't smell. And from there, ubikashtem misham. And from that place where we are, Hashem will seek us and He will find us and we will be looking with all our heart and all our soul. And the Midrash says that ultimately we'll repent and find our way back to Hashem. And Reb Simcha Bunim says, what's the Sham? The Avadatem Sham. Where's that Sham? He says, Mina Lev Gufa. That mamish, you could mamish from your own heart, you could find Hashem, that you can tibakshehu heitev. If you ask for Hashem, even no matter where you are, you're just asking from within your own heart, Hashem will to help you find your way. And it says, you know, yagatu matzata ta'amin. So if you look, you'll find. So what's the big deal? Obviously, if you're looking, you're going to find it. Don't we say that? Yagatu matzata. So the greatest metziah in Torah and Yiddishkeit is when you understand that this moment, you have to look all over again. This is from Chasheva L'tova. This, looking new, is only found after you've been looking and looking and looking, and then you realize, I need to mamash ask again. And I feel a little bit this relates back to the beginning of the Parsha Etchanan. I asked him and I asked him and I asked him. Because after so much asking and I didn't get it, how many times do I hear people, I've been davening for my soulmate for so long, it's not coming, I forget it already. No, like when you're so broken and you know you asked and you did everything and every segula in the book and you went for the brachas and you did the 40 days and you did everything and it's still not happening, ask again. Don't give up. Ask again. Ask again. It's so intense. And ask with all your heart and soul. And you know, the time of the Vilna Gaon, Nebuchadnezzar put the Shema Meforash from the tzitz of the Kohen Gadol into the mouth of an idol, and it began to speak. And everybody thought, okay, there really got to be something to it. How could this idol speak? So Daniel asked, please let me kiss the idol. Remember this story in Daniel?
Yeah, go ahead.
So he goes to kiss the idol, and he pulls out the Shema Meforash that was placed in there, and it didn't speak anymore. And slowly, slowly, the Am, who were getting like sucked into this Avodah Zorah, realized there isn't any mamashut. So it says that this pasuk, the Vilna Gaon says, the avadatem sham, right? What's the pasuk? Avadatem sham Elohim maaseh yedei adam that Nebuchadnezzar made, asher lo yirun velo yishmerun velo yachlun velo yirichun. It doesn't say velo yidaberun, because it did speak. It says it doesn't see, it doesn't hear, it doesn't eat, it doesn't smell. Why doesn't it say it doesn't speak? Because it did speak. Ubikashtem misham, you ask for that place, Hashem Elokecha, look for the Shema Meforash that must be there, umitzata, and you will find it, ki tidrashenu, because you were looking for it, b'kol avavcha, b'chol nafshecha. If you look and ask with Mesirat Nefesh, you will find the name inside, and you will figure out the mistake for everybody. And that's exactly what Daniel did. So I thought that Mamish, that's what we have to do. That the place where we got tripped up, the thing that we broke, the place where we're broken, in there, Bikashta Misham, look in your life to the mistakes that you make and see there how Hashem is still there. See the Shema Meforash in the Mikrim of your life that happened. We've been having this discussion about people who grew up with traumatic childhoods and things that happened, whether they were conscious or not conscious, and how it affected them, and how is it affecting them even now, and that these are the vessels that Hashem gave us. Look in that place to see what quality did you gain from it. What's God's name from that trauma, from that tsa'ar, that you could use now with all your heart and soul to come close to Hashem. And the Baal Shem Tov says, when it says ubikashtem misham, seek Hashem from there, from the place of your gullus, you'll find him. Hashem is everywhere. He's in every corner of his creation. You can use everything to be a vehicle to reach him. And if by Ashkacha Pratit you're in a certain place in your life, and your surest path to Hashem is right from there. Right from there. Ata hareta ladat ki Hashem hu Elokim ein od milvado. One of the most intense psukim in this sefer for me is this one. That, I got a machal. Yeah, this is Mosey. Wait, I'm so sorry. Hello?
I got it.
Don't lose it. Otherwise, call me. If it's Faye, then call back Mosey.
She's your neighbor?
Yeah. V'yadata ayom v'ashivota el levavcha ki Hashem hu Elokim b'shamayim ma'al v'al ha'aretz mitachat ein od. Ein od milvado. If you could, the Holy Tanya, the Alter Rebbe says, if you could see the chiyut richoni flowing from every ma'amar of Hashem into every creation, we wouldn't see the materiality and like the coarseness, the tangibility, because it would be utterly nullified in relation to this divine force. So Rashi says, "Patach lehem sheva rikiim." He opened for them the seven heavens. Kishem shekarata elyonim. As he broke through the upper worlds, kach kara et atachtonim. So he broke through all of the us of the lower, and we saw that he was Yechidi. So the Sfat Emet says that Shum Kochot HaChoshech, none of the strengths of darkness in hiding from the side of Teva, it's not in their way to hide anything from people of Am Yisrael that are truly begging to serve Hashem with all their heart. From the Pnimiyut of the world, that everything is open before us. You see everything in every place through the darkness, through the hiding, you could see Hashem. Yadata hayom v'hashivota el levavcha, should know today and return to your heart, ki Hashem hu ha'elokim b'shamayim mima'al v'hala aretz mitachat ein od. This is the shorish of knowledge, the source of all the knowledge of Yiddishkeit. Rambam says in Mishneh Torah, this is the yesod of yesodot. This is the pillar of all the chachma, to know that there is the first existence who brings all existences into being, that all the existences of Shamayim and Aretz and everything in between derive their existence only from the truth of Hashem's existence. And that's why the Salanta Rebbe says, it's not enough b'yidiyah b'ilvad. You can't just know it. It's like what we're learning on Thursday in Bilvavi Mishkan Avnei. It cannot just be in your sechel. You have to collect it in your heart so that your desire and all your midot are on the same wavelength as your knowledge. And this is the ikar of our voda. And that's why the Chidushei Arim says, if the ikar is the hashevota elevavecha, to put it back in your heart. So first of all, a person has to purify his heart so that he can make room for all this knowledge so that it can take root. And that's why I say you have to forgive, and you have to let go of your anger, and that's why you have to let go of your resentment, so that you have enough room to have this thing be rooted there. The space in our heart that's taken up by resentment and anger and hurt feelings does not give us the space to love our family enough, to be connected to Hashem. And Gemara Sota says, "Kol mi sheyesh lo mezonatav la'ayom, v'hu doeg l'machar." This is how I started the shiur. Hareze mikatnei emuna. Anybody who has enough food for today and is worried about tomorrow, he's mamish very little of faith, so intense. The Yadata Hayom, the Tchelet Mordechai says, don't try to know more than you need to know for today. Ladat elamasha nogei alayom. Don't be thinking too much about tomorrow. The Hishavata elavavecha ki Hashem hu Elokim. Should have in you the true amuna that Hashem can do everything. And if you have it today, obviously Hashem can help you tomorrow. So the Lubavitcher Rebbe asks a parallel question. He says, why does it say Shamayim mi ma'al and aretz mi tachat? Wouldn't it be enough to just say Shamayim va'aretz? So he says the lesson is, how do you approach all the heavenly and earthly bechinas of our lives? And everything that pertains to Shamayim, our spiritual achievements, look up. Go mima'al, look upwards to those who are greater for us, strive to be like them. Regarding all our earthly and material things and attainments and acquirements and possessions, look below. Ha'aretz mitachat. Look below us to those people who have less than we do, and then we'll be grateful for what we have.
Amen.
And I think I'm going to, I don't know if that was exactly an hour, but I think I'm going to end there. Anyway, I bless us that all should be well and everybody's doing fine, and really it's a hard time for Am Yisrael. We should mamish take these moments of great emotion and don't let them fade. And don't let the tsa'ar fade, let it bring us to a new height. And don't let the realization of the brachas that we have fade away. Mamish, do something, take on something, take on a mitzvah, say a tehillim. Kuf Yud Zayin is a really good tehillim to take on. If you feel you're overwhelmed, it's only two psukim. You could say it for everybody else who's giving you a hard time. You could say it for the people that you wish you could change and you don't have koch to say it for them. Anyway, I bless us that we should enter into Tisha B'Av with so much understanding of Hashem, that Imamish lifts us up out of all the pain and all the tsar of thousands of years of gullus, and brings us, Mamish, straight up to the Beit HaMikdash in the moment. Thank you.